You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, Auburn won a tackle football game.
Yay!
It was awesome. And it wasn't against, you know, a division AA team or against some, you know, whoever we played a couple of weeks ago that we beat. It was against an actual SEC opponent.
On the road, no less.
If I recall correctly, to quote Chairman Kaga, if memory serves, this was our first SEC win since the day after Halloween last year.
Wow.
That's a long time for a team that was poised to contend for the national championship and conference honors and so forth.
Was that the Ole Miss game?
Yeah.
So that was also our last SEC road win.
November 1st, 2014. Hmm. Yeah, we closed out the season last year in spectacularly horrible fashion. And then, of course, we lost to Mississippi State and LSU this year. So this was our first SEC win, not just road win, all the way back to November 1st. And I'll take it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not taking it for granted. I'm not saying, oh, it's just Kentucky. It doesn't mean anything. No, we went on the road. We beat an SEC team. I'm taking it.
That was two quarterbacks ago when Nick Marshall still had about five games left to play for us. Imagine that.
I miss him more every day.
I tell you, I'm really beginning to wonder if we need that run threat. Of course, Sean White doesn't give you a lot of a run threat, but he did a lot of good things, didn't he?
He looked great. I mean, I not miss it. He looked very, very good. I mean, He so much better. The offense was so much better, and he looked really good. He looked very comfortable, and he made some big throws. I mean, a lot of poise, third down, guys around him. He stood tall in the pocket and made some big throws, and I thought his decision-making was really good, and I thought he did a really good job. Ball handling was good.
Let me just tell you, after seeing the play of some other quarterbacks the last couple of weekends, he looks better and better. Jeremy doesn't look that bad, honestly, given the play of some other quarterbacks over the last couple of weeks, you know?
It's true.
I mean, this is just one of those years where weird stuff is happening. I mean, one week Georgia's quarterback is setting NCAA records, and the next he can't throw it in the side of the Pacific Ocean. You know, one week Texas A&M looks like a national championship contender, and the next they got three pick sixes. I mean, it's just this is a crazy, crazy season. And in fact, one team had a really crazy Saturday in a bad way, and we'll be hearing from someone from their program coming up in a little bit on the show. I think some of our listeners will be happy about that. But before we get into dissecting the game itself, what in general stands out to you this weekend in terms of the state of our program first and then kind of the college football season?
Well, I mean, in terms of Auburn, I think, you know, the coaches used a bye week wisely, and I think the team made big improvement. I think there was a dramatic difference in how we played versus how we played, you know, in the I mean, you can't watch that game and then go back and look at how we played against LSU and against the one double Jacksonville State and not see dramatic improvement. The offense is much, much better. And you know, still has room to improve. It's not perfect. And I think we, you know, pulled back the reins a little bit in the second half and got a little conservative we shouldn't have. But I feel very good about the offense. I think it's in good place. And again, this was Sean White's first road start. Okay. I mean, mm-hmm. He'd started a game at home, but he had not started on the road. And that's a big thing, especially on the road in the SEC. So I just think mm-hmm. going in there and executing well is going to give the offense a lot of confidence going forward.
Well, let me ask you, by the way, we were talking about this beforehand. I'm going to be muting some, but I've got the coughing and the bronchitis and all the gunk, and there's a horrible pollen in the Midwest. We dig up our cornfields every year, and it's just like impossible to breathe. So I go ahead and apologize now for all the coughing and sniffling I'll be doing during this show. I'll mute as much as I can. So Sean, I mean, does it look to you, I mean, this is the impression I got, was that when we started the season for the first several games, it seemed like our offense was trying to be very simple and very straightforward, and we couldn't even do that. And now it looked in the Kentucky game, at least in the first half, it reminded me of more the old school Gus, where he has all kind of interesting formations, all kind of interesting trick plays going on as part of our offense, and we actually know how to execute them fluidly. Am I wrong in perceiving that, or what's going on there?
No, you're right. I mean, it was late 2009 Auburn offense.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yes, exactly.
They executed well, and they did some tricky stuff. We did some wildcat. We did, mm-hmm. We did some different kinds of running plays. We pulled the guards a lot. We did a lot of unbalanced line kind of stuff where we brought in Robert Leff as an extra offensive tackle, and he played on one side. And then we took the two starting offensive tackles and put them next to each other, like on the right-hand side of the line. And we'd run behind them a lot, or start running behind them. A lot of times he ended up cutting back or going a different way. But that's a formation that I think one of the things they found is that sometimes using Chandler Cox and those guys who weren't getting a lot of extra oomph out of using them as blockers, and we're much better off bringing in Robert Leff as basically a giant tight end, mm-hmm. and have him block than have somebody else in the backfield. And I think that made a lot of difference. So, and it's something that forces defenses to adjust or bring extra guys in the box, and but we had extra big blockers in there, so it worked out well.
Yeah, and it seems like we've pretty much committed now to our main offensive weapons being Peyton Barber and Kerryon Johnson.
And Ricardo Lewis.
And I'm going to say before we even get to the receivers, yeah. And then, of course, Ricardo Lewis, and you got to think that at least one or two more receivers are going to step up. I was surprised that Melvin Ray didn't really seem – maybe they were covering him very well or something, but Melvin Ray didn't seem to step up. But there's a couple of others that obviously Tony Stevens and
Marcus Davis had a good game.
Yeah, so the receivers kind of coming around maybe, but it just seems like, we thought going into the season that our running game was going to be Javon Robinson and Rock Thomas, and that just has not materialized. I guess Rock is hurt again. I haven't heard any updates on him since the game. Have you heard anything since game time about him?
They were saying tonight that he's kind of day to day.
What is wrong with him?
I think it was a sprained ankle or something. Something like he's had. It's kind of a nagging injury he's had at this point. So.
He is Mario Fannin, isn't he?
If the shoe fits, then.
If the dislocated shoulder fits.
But I mean, we joke about it, but we need him.
Yes.
Because he's one of the few guys on that offense that can make a big play when the ball gets in his hands. So we need him healthy to beat these teams coming up on the schedule.
My, how your song has changed. You've gone from, I don't want him touching the ball again, to, man, well, we sure do need him.
I don't want him, behind Sean White, and I don't want him to get the handoff 30 times.
Right, right.
But we need him to, catch five or six passes a game or whatever.
Screen passes, little bubble screen, and stuff like
return
that.
Return some kickoffs, that kind of stuff, because he can make plays. We need him.
The question that just keeps nagging at me more than probably any other at this point, what is the deal with Javon Robinson?
Well, I mean, I think he's
hurt. Does he just not know the playbook? Is it some combination of that? I mean, he's got, two carries all season?
Yeah. I think it's got to be both. Clearly, in the system you're in at junior college, I'm sure he didn't have to pass protect, and I'm sure he didn't have to do these other things. And so that may have been an issue at the beginning. But it kind of is what it is at this point. They're not going to say why they're not playing it, but he's clearly the fourth string tailback, and he's basically, we're redshirting him this year at best. And at worst, he's going to look at the handwriting on the wall and look at all these young running backs ahead of him and leave.
Well, I'm wondering, just give him a medical red shirt at this point.
I mean, yeah, he could. I mean, he doesn't need a medical. It'd be, I guess, yes, he would, because he played a little bit in the Louisville game, but he could probably get one at this point. So
Now, remember, I warned everybody at the beginning of the season that he had like 2,000 yards rushing his first year at junior college, and then like 800 his second year, and I was asking what was up with that. That made me a little concerned. Well, he's got about 2 yards this year.
I think if the coaches thought he couldn't play, then they wouldn't have kept recruiting him hard. So
yeah, but I just wonder. It just really puzzles me, because he was such an important weapon, and he was kind of somebody we were counting on and depending on. And
I mean, there are rumors that he's gotten into it with Gus, a little bit. It's probably some of when we were struggling, like, hey, give me the ball, which any talented player, I could see them feeling that way. You don't go out of your way to say it to the head coach. But so, I think that's theoretically that could be part of the problem.
Yeah. Well,
he could have dug himself a big hole. So,
well, let's get into some specifics from the Kentucky game. It was a Thursday night game up in Cam Newton Stadium. And it says that right there on the side of the stadium. And, folks on Twitter know I missed the first couple of minutes of the game. When I walked in the house, I thought it started at 6:30. It started at 6.
Well, ESPN, every other ESPN Thursday night game starts at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, but they moved it up because they were doing a doubleheader.
Oh, okay. Well, I came in with dinner from the takeout place, and it was 7-7, and I'm like, what? So from what I understand, Sean converted a couple of pretty good long third down, which I said, well, that didn't surprise me, because it seems like, every drive we do, there's at least one something in 15, something in 19 to overcome because of a hold or because of a illegal motion or, something. So, or a sack. So, what was the deal with the first two drives? I mean, and they had a long run too, right?
Yeah. So, offensively, the first two drives, the biggest thing is we came out throwing.
Okay.
And he came out specifically targeting Ricardo Lewis. And Ricardo Lewis stepped up and made the plays. So, on the first drive alone, we had three third downs, okay? It starts out 3rd and 7. We're at our end of the field still. And Sean White completes a pass to Ricardo Lewis for 27 yards.
Nice.
And it was – and then we had a 3rd and 9, and he completes a pass to Marcus Davis for 10 yards.
Okay.
And then we had a 3rd and 4, and he completes a 22-yard pass to Ricardo Lewis.
Wow.
So it really was not easy plays. And Sean White stood in the pocket. He had a lot of time. They gave him great protection. He made big throws. And Ricardo Lewis especially got open and made plays with the ball. And then we got down to the goal line, and Peyton Barber took it in. And then on the second drive, we started out the very first play, Sean White to Ricardo Lewis for 41 yards. So, and then we had a 3rd and 6 again, and he completed a 7-yard pass to Ricardo Lewis. So it really was the Sean White Ricardo Lewis show the first quarter of that game.
And then he got poked in the eye, and after that he never caught another pass, it doesn't seem like.
He didn't do much after that. Maybe I think he caught one, but and then they got they got the ball in between those two series, and their really good running back Williams had like a 60-yard run and got down on the the goal line, and they brought it in. So
we have to give one of those up every week.
Well, this was, one again where McKenzie was in the backfield and had him, basically had his hand on him and had him squared up to bring him down, and the guy got away.
Right.
And McKenzie missed the tackle, and then the guy basically blew by everybody. Yeah. And he's fast. He's a very, very fast running back. You could see that in the rest of the game. He was coming around the outside. The guy was making people misjudge the angles and stuff, so.
That reminds me, I don't have a place to mention it later, but I want to mention it while I'm thinking about it. I saw a statistic, and I think this was the way it was. It said that only three teams in the last 5 years have had top 10 recruiting classes every year for the last 5 years. You know what those three teams are?
I'm going to say Alabama's one.
Yep.
And Florida State.
Yep.
I would say Georgia.
Auburn.
And which recruiting service is that?
Well, going? Right. But the point is, I just don't understand how we're playing a bunch of freshmen. I mean, our team has become basically the junior varsity freshman team, you know? And I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, they're good. But it's just amazing how many first-year players we have considering how well we've been recruiting.
It is true. I mean, but I think this, you know, I think the players who would be the upperclassmen in this would be guys that would, you know, join like were high schoolers during the 2012 season. Mm. So, you know, and that was a bit of a problem. So I think since then we've done really well, but it's clear if you look at the team, I mean, the best players are, you know, freshmen and redshirt freshmen and sophomores and some of the juniors. So,
yeah. Well, I just thought that was weird. So,
I think it was Cole Kubik who said this, who had the stat. This is the first game this year that Auburn has not had a new starter, basically, a player who has started a game for the first time.
For the first time somewhere in the lineup.
Yeah. And I think it showed. I think they played better.
I think they're going to get better and better. I definitely think so. I said earlier, I wish that we could play Mississippi State again later this season because I think that we'd be a much better match, you know, against them than we were when we played them because we still didn't know what we were doing back then. So, this team looks more and more like 2009. I mean, we don't exactly have a Ben Tate, but we have a committee that can kind of get the job done running.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Sean White is not Chris Todd, but he's a little better, I think, in certainly talent wise, and
he's more athletic, I think, for sure.
Yeah, but they're similar in some ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, the defense is suspect like it was then. Did some things good, something bad. A couple of good receivers, you know, like we had then, and decent kicker. So, in fact, they were saying one of the statistics during the game was that there were only like three kickers that had two 50-yard-plus field goals this season. And then ours kicked a third 50-something-yard field mm-hmm. goal. So, I don't know where he stands now, if he's the only one, but he might be. So, one other thing about that. What do you think about Gus's play calling and the offensive strategy the last week or so? I mean, I touched on that a minute ago, but I'm just trying to get down. I'm trying to drill down to the idea that Gus is getting more creative. He's trying to do some things with scheme and formation and approach that are new or that we haven't done in a while. This just seems like such a different offense than the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, it has to be because mm-hmm. a lot the bread and butter of the last couple of years was the read option and kind of the different variations of it.
Yeah.
And kind of play action off the read option and stuff. So when you take that piece out, you have to kind of go back to what is, you know, and this is kind of what I was talking about in the past couple of weeks is I think, you know, when things got bad, Gus went back to try to figure out what, you know, back to the basics to get the team doing the basics, running the football, and then expand. And then now moving to a point we could expand on that, do some play action passes. We could do some different things in the running game. We did the unbalanced line stuff. We did a bunch of wildcat stuff with Kerryon Johnson. We had a great play at the goal line where mm-hmm. Kerryon took it in for a touchdown. And, you know, I think we're going to see some more of that. You know, we saw Sean White run with it a little bit, but I thought it was absolutely, you know, he had to do it to keep them off balance and make them, you know, to burn them for ignoring him. And, I thought it worked. So
the wounded chicken.
Yeah. He's not, you know, we're not going to forget Nick Marshall watching him run, but.
I'm going to have to get the chicken dance sound effect before this season is over. I'm going to have to.
He definitely, you know, could definitely make teams pay for it when they ignore him. But I think the offensively, the thing that Auburn really stepped back, I think Auburn had gotten very predictable. Where if you looked at the formation on the field and the way we were lined up, the play we were going to run, was predictable a lot of time. I mean, people in the stands could see it, and you know that if we could, the other team could. So mm-hmm. I think we got to the point what they did in the off week is, you know, look at all that stuff. And then this week we came out, we showed the same formation, and we did something completely different. And I think that's a lot of the success we had early in that game was we were showing certain things and they were expecting something, and then we did something completely different and the defense was off balance. Yep. And I think that's good coaching, a good use of the bye week, and I think there's more of that coming. I think we're going to show certain things and then kind of go, you know, go in a different direction and keep the other defense off balance. So I think that's really what I saw from Gus and the offense in the first half of the game, at least. And then right. we got a lead, and then we went back to us being the most conservative team in the SEC.
Well, we've kind of had three phases of our offense this season. There have been three different offenses we've run. The first, you know, couple of games, we tried to run the throw deep, which would, the deep pass was supposed to replace the read option mm-hmm. as opening up the run, and then that wasn't working. The second phase was, well, let's just run and just overpower people.
And not bother to throw it.
And that worked against one team and didn't work against a couple of others. Mm-hmm. And now we're in the third phase, which is let's just get real creative and let the mad scientist come back, you know. So, and that actually seemed to work. At least it honestly worked because our kicker is able to hit a 50-something yard field goal. Because otherwise it would have been 27-27. We'd have gone to overtime. Unless we'd opened up the offense more in the second half.
I mean, again,
it's
think
hard to say.
Because of we were a couple scores ahead, I think that's why we were a little more conservative in the second half. But
yeah, well, that brings us to the burning question, which is it's 4th and 1. Okay, there's like a minute and a half to go. What would you have done? Would you have gone for it on offense, or would you have punted it and let Muschamp's defense try to hold on?
I would have gone for it. We were at the Auburn 47. Okay. There was, I think there was 2:19 left.
Okay? And they needed a field goal to go to overtime.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and they only needed a field goal. So if we went and failed, then they're starting on our side of the field with 2 minutes left to get a field goal.
Right.
So that's the danger. If they needed a touchdown, it's a different calculation.
Right.
I think part of Gus's calculation is, you know, trying to give the defense something to build on. I mean, that sounds kind of high schoolish, you know.
Absolutely.
But trying to give them something to build on so that, you know, they could feel pretty good about themselves moving forward, feel like they contributed to the win. And they had, you know, they had held, Kentucky to a couple of punts in the second half. I mean, and they scored a couple times too, but they had stopped them.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't inconceivable that we could stop them. But honestly, I would have gone for it. It was a yard. We have a good running game. I mean, I feel like on the road, especially, like, you need to be a little more aggressive, to kind of go and get victory and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I mean, I felt like that was the way to go, but it worked out. I mean, the defense stopped them. We got some good pass rush on them, and that was it. So,
well, I definitely would have gone for it just because I would have felt like if I punted it to them, it would have only been two or three plays until they were the same place on the field that they would have been anyway. And that turned out to be the case.
Yes.
It's not like time was going to be a factor, and it wasn't time that got him. It was downs.
That's right.
Would you have given it to Peyton Barber up the middle? Would you have gone wide with Kerryon Johnson, or you done something else?
It's tough to run wide a 4th and 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go back and look at, was it really like a yard? It was like a yard and a half, but I mean, I think I would have gone up the middle.
Yeah, I might have gone with Kerryon Johnson on around the outside. Man, tell me this. Kerryon Johnson in a year with some more meat on him, some more muscle, is he going to be a weapon or what?
Yeah, he's going to be great. I mean, he's going to be so really good. Really good. I mean, he's clearly one of the more talented offensive freshmen in the SEC. Mm-hmm. He's a good receiver. Mm-hmm. You can do the Wildcat thing. You can play running back. And I think he's just going to be a weapon. You know, he's kind of the kick Swiss returns. Army knife. And I think, yeah, he could be the kick returner. So he's good at that. So I think it's the kind of thing where, yeah, they're fine. They know he's good with the ball in his hands, and they want to find ways to get him the ball. And he's, again, we got to have bigger plays on offense. I think he's one of the few. He's one of the few guys that can do it.
You know who he's reminded me of so far, at least in terms of how, kind of how they're using him and what he's doing on the field.
Who?
Cadillac.
When Cadillac was a freshman,
they let him return kickoffs. They let him run wide. He'd go outside wide, use his speed. He wasn't huge, wasn't a big power back, but he was determined, you know, had a lot of, a lot of skills. That's just kind of what's making me think of. But Peyton Barber is more the Ronnie Brown, although he's not Ronnie Brown, obviously.
No.
But you know what I mean, though. The two of them right now are kind of playing that pairing role.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, anything about the defense or the special teams you want to mention before we move on?
Well, I mean, the defense wasn't great again. I mean, it gave up an enormous amount of yards, and, you know, that was disappointing. I mean, they had 359 yards passing. It's a lot.
I look at what our defense did in this game, and I honestly don't know how we won. I mean, I look at our statistics in this game, and I just I don't know how we won the game.
We won the game because we jumped on them early with both feet, and the biggest play of the game was Carlton Davis's interception in the end zone.
Yeah.
It was the biggest play in the game because it literally took a score off the board for them and gave us the ball back.
And getting those two field goals right before halftime turned out to be a whole difference.
That was a huge series too. So, I mean, his interception in the end zone and then that turnaround at the end of the half where we kicked a field goal, stopped them, got the ball back, that was really, really well done by Auburn.
Yeah. Because, I mean, some teams wouldn't even tried. You know, they wouldn't have even tried. They'd have just taken a knee or something. And we went down and got more points, and they ended up being the winning points.
That's right. Well, and then, that goes into my other point I want to make, is that the special teams were huge in this game, and they were a big, big advantage for Auburn.
Yeah.
Big advantage. And I want to give you – I want to tell you a couple things that explain what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We both punted the ball – like, we punted the ball five times. They punted the ball four times. But our average per punt was like 37 yards at our net, and after you take out the returns, our net average was 37, and theirs was 30.
Wow.
Okay. So a 7 yard difference, and you know, over five punts is a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of field position.
Mm-hmm. We got some good kick returns too.
We did. We had two punts inside the 20 that went inside their 20. They had none. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We had six kickoffs in the game. Five of them were touchbacks. They had six kickoffs in the game. None of them were touchbacks.
Wow.
Okay.
And ended up on like the 35.
Yeah. And we had, you know, we averaged 25 yards a return.
Mm-hmm.
So they only had one return that got 18 yards. So those things plus the long field goals said to me that Auburn had an excellent game of special teams, and it was a big difference in the game in terms of field position and in terms of us, you know, ultimately winning the game.
That's sort of those hidden yards. Like if you just if you look at just the main hit you in the face statistics, you'd guess that Kentucky won the game.
Uh-huh.
When you dig down deeper into those hidden yards and kick returns and punt position and all that, you start seeing how it could come out the other way.
Yeah,
pretty amazing. Yeah, it was everybody contributed. You know. And our defense, I mean, I know we can't get any pass rush to save our freaking lives ever, but I like our secondary going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good at least.
No, I'd agree with that.
We haven't had a chance because we didn't do a show last week for a variety of reasons. I was out of town down in Huntsville. And by the way, thanks to everybody that came out. That was a fun event in the Von Braun Center. It was really nice facility, huge, and lots of people came through and – shout out to the Auburn lady that came in with her boyfriend or husband and bought Decades of Dominance. I only brought a couple of copies because I knew it was more of a literary type thing. But an Auburn fan came through. I believe she listens to the show and got a copy and talked to me a little bit and got her picture. And that was awesome. That was really cool. But yeah, we didn't do a show, so we didn't really get to talk about Duke Williams. I mean, it's been a while now, and clearly we've played a game without Duke. But any thoughts on Duke?
No, I mean, I wish him the best, and he clearly has a lot of talent. You know, he has NFL kind of talent, and it's a shame to me that he came back to Auburn and didn't use that talent to benefit the team and himself.
Yeah,
I don't think the NFL scouts can be very impressed with his. You know, his film this year,
No.
And I'm sure he's going to go out and do great stuff in the combine, and some team will draft him anyway. But and he could end up being a productive NFL player.
But I
wish he could have done that for us.
He closes out. Yeah, well, he closes out 2015, I believe, having caught fewer passes this season than he did in the first game of his first year at first game at Auburn against Arkansas.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's not good. And I have to say, this is probably the last time that you'll ever get to hear.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
We'll lay that one to rest now, John. We will lay it to rest. Any other news? I feel like there should be, but I can't think of it. Maybe we've covered it all.
No, not that I can think of.
Well, you know, we've got a little treat for you guys tonight. We still have a few listener questions coming up. We're going to kind of run through. We're going to look at the Arkansas game for a couple of minutes and run through the rest of the SEC. But very quickly, we've got a special guest that we haven't had on in a while. And I'm going to go ahead and open the door and come on in. Hey, Coach. Yep. What is all this? What's this hootenanny going on in here? Oh, my head hurts. Oh, I had a rough time on Saturday. You picked a heck of a time to have me back on your cockamamie show, I have to say. Big game, Bob. I guess so, huh? 55-0. Lord. 55-0, Bob. Have some mercy on an old man, for Christ's sake. Crying out loud. I mean, 55-0. And if they could do this to us, just think what they'll do to Texas this season. I say, John.
Coach, they already played Texas.
Oh, I guess they beat them 55-0, didn't they?
Something like that.
Oh, okay, I'll just go with that then. I heard some things about the Oklahoma players. I heard they arrived late at their hotel. This is true, they arrived late. Apparently, hey, where'd my music go? Okay, there it is. Apparently their horse and buggy broke down somewhere outside of Overland Park. No, just kidding. Iron Horse of the Plains, yes. The Iron Horse broke down somewhere outside of Overland Park. And all the problems I carefully engineered, I mean that randomly happened, all those problems that kept their team up till past midnight. Cue up my music again, whippersnapper. There we go. So, I heard, this is true, they sent a few of their players out to get random fast food and to feed the players. And Coach Stoops said that now the players will want to have that every week. Well, let me just tell you, Coach Stoops, Big Game Bob, that at Kansas State, we do not feed our players fast food. There's nothing fast at Kansas State. There's no fast women, and there's no fast food at Kansas State. No, we have each player till his own plot of farm cropland in mid-Kansas and grow what he can grow for himself. Your athletic scholarship comes with room and board, 40 acres and a mule, and you grow your own crops. Is this thing on? Hello? Is this thing on? All right.
They should just write us a letter, Coach.
That's all I got for you. You have any questions for the coach? Fire away. You have any questions? 55-0. What kind of foolishness is that?
I heard you've been having a lot of injuries at quarterback, Coach. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I nearly strangled that man. How dare he let him not score a point? 55-0. All right. That's enough. I got to go coach. Don't you understand? I lost a game 55-0.
You got your work cut out for you.
I got to coach him up. But that's what I'm known for. I coach him up. All right. Good night, you Auburn fans.
Good night, Coach Snyder.
Goodbye.
I like the door sound.
There he goes. He's riding off into the distance on his horse and buggy. It's bittersweet. Bittersweet. dulcet tones of the Coach Snyder theme. Well, it was good to have him back on the show. He seemed a little upset tonight.
It was a little snappy.
A little testy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess getting beat down by Oklahoma. I didn't want to interrupt him, but I don't think he knows that Texas beat Oklahoma.
No, I don't think he got that message.
Wow, that's bad. All right. Well, we'll just segue on then.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. So Mira signals the time for the listener questions, which I forgot to remind people about this week, but you say we have a few?
We do.
Oh, very good. All right. Let's do it.
All right. First one comes from frequent question asker Auburn Elvis.
Oh, yes.
Who says...
Auburn Elvis, yes.
Since this year in college football is about favorable matchups, can you please tell me how many remaining teams in our schedule have one-dimensional running games and receiving core prone to dropping the ball?
Oh, all of them, I hope. But unfortunately, I don't think it's going to work out that way. well, Georgia's got issues. And as of Saturday, Ole Miss got some issues.
Oh, my God!
Did you see what Memphis did to Ole Miss?
I did.
So...
We'll get to that at the SEC schedule. I agree with you 100% on that.
All right. So,
all right. Our next question comes from Michael Kirshner, who says, "Where did the buck sweep go? That was a staple play for Gus, and typically went 5 to 50 yards. Is it personnel?"
Define buck sweep.
I mean, not more like the power sweep that we used to do.
Yeah.
Not the speed. We also had the speed sweep.
Honestly. With a couple of exceptions for Corey Grant, and only a couple, the last time it seems to me that the sweep, the speed sweep, anything like that was very effective was when we had Ontario McCaleb running it.
That was a while ago.
That was a while ago, John. But, I mean, like I said, Corey Grant had a couple, but nothing consistent. He lost yards on sweeps as much as he gained yards. And when he did gain yards, with a couple of exceptions, it wasn't much. I think his first game, maybe the 2013 game against Washington State, Corey Grant had a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I can't remember him ever having a big game running that sweep.
No.
So weird.
I don't understand at all. It seemed like he had the skill, the right skill for that. But.
Mm-hmm. Am I crazy, or did they have Chandler Cox out blocking like a receiver to try to get us some more?
We did that at one point. We had
more just to give some more blocking on the edge.
We did that at one point. Yes,
they really are trying to be creative.
Well, and then we ran the Wildcat, but Jeremy out wide. You know, on the play where Kerryon scored the touchdown, Jeremy Johnson was in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the problems later where he had a false start, and then we had a penalty for 12 guys in the field too, trying to come into the Wildcat.
I was going to say, there's one play where Jeremy Johnson was in motion, and there was another play where Jeremy Johnson was in motion.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Next question is from L. August 5, who says –
Colonel. That's the Colonel.
Oh, it's Colonel August. All right.
Colonel. Sir.
He says that halfway through the season – do we know if Auburn is a rock, paper, or scissors? And he says, which we are. What are the Hogs?
We are either Lizard or Spock.
All right.
I mean, I don't think we're rock, paper, or scissors. That's what I was saying is we started the season trying to be scissors. Then we went to just rock. Well, in more ways than one. And now for a while we were looking like paper. I think now we're Spock because we're trying to use – you know, you get my reference? Have you gotten that reference yet?
I did. That's okay. Big Bang Theory.
It's Big Bang Theory, yeah. I think we're more Spock because we're trying to use our brains, see, to figure out these clever formations and motions and everything. So I'm going to go ahead and say Spock, and maybe next year we'll try Lizard. Who knows? But I like that he picked up on your whole analogy about how the SEC is rock, paper, scissors. But, of course, there was one glaring problem with that theory we're going to get to.
We have some questions about that specific analogy.
That really caught on. Point. That really that's good.
Jonathan Harris, who's at AU Zoom, says, why did you give me hope in the Alabama-Texas A&M game?
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
And then in the same question, War Room Eagle asked, did the rock, paper, scissors analogy just not work out for Bama, Texas A&M, or did paper, hand, rock, a pair of scissors three times in one game?
That, well, it was either that or, John,
you lied to me. Release the hounds.
Well.
Hush. Down, boy. Down. Eel.
Well, here's what I would say about the Texas A&M Alabama game, and we could talk some more about it, but it was 41-23, and Alabama scored 21 points on passes from Kyle Allen.
I have notes here to say that. Yep.
Okay. So other than Kyle Allen's contribution to Alabama, it was 23-21 Texas A&M.
I'll go ahead and clear out my notes now. Yes, more than half of Alabama's points came from pick sixes. And it was like the LSU-Auburn game of 94, except spread throughout the game rather than all in the fourth quarter. And that made me say, wow, Jamie Howard thought Kyle Allen had a great game.
It's the truth. You rarely see a quarterback, you know, get burned and burned and burned again. I mean, sometimes because they pull him, but sometimes because you don't keep doing that. But, he had Alabama secondary, I still think, is vulnerable. They've gotten better. Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, has played a lot in this game. He didn't play early in the season. And he made some good plays for them. But I think a lot of it was that Kyle Allen – it was 100% in Kyle Allen's head.
Yeah.
The Alabama defense got in his head. You know, I think Texas A&M is better, but they're not mentally tough. And I think when Alabama started beating on them and Henry started running the ball, some of the guys on that team started having flashbacks. It was like, guys who had been in combat and they started hearing explosions or something.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Alabama needs to stop having their games copy our great games because they had the deflection, right? They had the miracle at Jordan-Hare with Ole Miss, and now they had the LSU interception fiesta. I mean, what's next? Are they going to run a field goal back for a touchdown, or are they gonna? They're copying all of our great scripts from the past, and it's really kind of annoying to me.
I didn't think about that. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Two more questions here.
Right.
Jonathan Harris's other question is on a serious note. Can we beat Arkansas if the offense plays like it did in the first half against Kentucky?
Yes.
And then what about Georgia or A&M?
But not the second half. I mean, Arkansas is. This is a rock paper scissors deal, right? Arkansas is a rock. And they're going to pound away at us, and I feel like we can't take our foot off the gas pedal. Either that, or we pretend we're Toledo, because we know they can't handle that.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to Arkansas in a second. Whether they're really a rock or not, I have some thoughts. But
okay.
Ross Hatcher asked, he says, I know it worked out in the end, but am I the only one that wanted Gus to go for it at 4th-and-1? He said he had more faith in getting 1 yard than in the defense.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But I agree with you, though, that it was kind of a confidence builder thing for the defense to tell Muschamp, we trust you that you won't screw this up. And thank goodness he didn't screw it up. At least we don't have to feel like somebody's going to hire Muschamp away at the end of the season. You know, it's like when I said that at least we don't have to worry about Jeremy Johnson going to the NFL. At least we don't have to worry about Muschamp getting a Division I head coaching job in this.
No, and again, like, I still have absolute faith in Muschamp.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get the defense there.
It's not his fault. He's got, you know, he's having to work with all this. So. Okay, was that our last question?
Yep.
Well, let's talk about Arkansas.
All right.
I really wish I had some nice, you know, or hey, Beavis.
Did you have something about Bert?
I get me a butthead sound effect.
All right.
So, Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen is secretly better than you think he is. I mean, that's number one.
Okay.
He's actually, you know, he's not great, but he's one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
He really is. And, you know, he's been very effective for them, and they're more of a passing team than you think they are.
Well, they don't have but half of their running game. They haven't got a choice a lot of the time. I mean, they lost their great running back, one of them. You know, they're having to get by with just one.
Right. I mean, they only have Alex Collins. The other guy's hurt. But what I was going to say is, you know, they're not the – at least early in the season, they were not the run team that we have come to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I talked
in
season where they were leading the SEC in passing, and they still have 500 yards more passing than rushing.
That's just crazy.
It's insane, isn't it?
Even when Wisconsin had what's his name at the Seahawks now, they weren't doing that.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they had Russell Wilson. They weren't 500 more yards passing under Burt.
Right. So I think some of it is because they know they have Brandon Allen and he's, you know, a senior and he's good and their running game is good, but it's not nearly as good as it was last year.
Right.
I mean, last year their running game was spectacular and they kind of overpowered everybody with brute force, but it's not the same. And basically, they're slightly worse than us at running the ball.
That's crazy. They're worse than us at running the ball.
Yes.
Wow. So
on a, you know, slightly better on a per play basis, but on a per game basis, they're worse.
Okay. Well, part of that though is that they're throwing it so much, though, like you said.
That's right. That's what I want to say is, they're much more of a passing team than a running team.
They're going to score some points on us.
Yes. I mean, I think in, you know, we talk about Auburn going forward, our defense is not good. We're last in the SEC in total defense, which is a
good gosh.
In some ways a meaningless stat, but it matters because we're giving up tons of yard and lots of points.
Good gosh.
And we're creating more turnovers now. We're getting, you know, starting to do that kind of stuff. But we got to stop the other team occasionally. We need to, you know, force some punts and some three and outs. And we're not doing that. And so they're going to score points. So the Auburn offense is going to have to gear up and score points. I think we did that in the Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do it again in this game. And
can we? The question is, can we?
Yes, we can.
All right.
Because Arkansas has the worst pass defense in the SEC by a mile.
Holy what? What?
Holy cow! Oh my God!
Rod's happy, excited about the possibility. So elaborate a little bit. They have not been stopping the pass.
Right. So they've been torched every week by the pass. Their pass rush, remember they lost all those guys who were in the defensive line for them last year that were so good.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys are gone. And so they have last in the SEC in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're averaging one sack a game, basically. And, you know, their pass defense is really, really bad. They have a hard time covering people. And you see against the teams that they've been beaten by that, they're just getting torched. So let me give you some specific kind of totals by game. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, we don't even need to talk about Alabama, but Texas A&M that's their offense. They threw 358 yards on them. Texas Tech, 315 yards. Mm. Toledo, 237. You know, Alabama threw for 262 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting a lot of sacks. Teams are completing almost 70% of passes against them.
Wow.
Okay? So, I mean, the only team that didn't, Tennessee completed 54 and Toledo completed 55, but everybody else was completing like in this over 70%. So I think Sean White could go in there, throw the ball effectively, have it, you know, come out being aggressive again, throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll open up everything.
That would be beautiful.
I don't think they get a lot of pressure on him. And I think he can, you know, have some time back there and I think he can make some plays. And I think we're going to need it because I think they still have one very good running back, Brandon Allen, solid. Their receivers aren't great. They're kind of mediocre, but it's one of those things where they have a good senior quarterback and he can get them the ball. So I think we're going to have to go in there and score points and make stuff happen.
It's being played in the smokehouse.
Yes.
Which works in their favor. We got special teams playing well.
Yeah. I mean, I think our special teams are really good, and I think that's going to make a big difference. I don't think they're great in that area. Our team actually is kind of turning pretty good into creating turnovers. I mean, I'm kind of happy about mm-hmm. that. And we go in there, create a turnover, get some good special teams play, throw the ball a little bit, and I think we can win the game. You know, and before the season, we were all like, "Oh my gosh, Arkansas was so great at the end of last year," and this isn't that team.
Yeah,
that team's not there.
Nope. I'm gonna go ahead and say, you know who I think the key player is going to be for us to play well again in this game.
Who?
Carry on, my wayward son.
I think if Peyton Barber is his usual hard-nosed self and they can find creative ways to use Kerryon Johnson, and also if Ricardo Lewis comes out and is steady again. And like you said, there's every reason to believe that Ricardo should have a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
It could look a lot like the Kentucky game.
That's right. And then I want to be like too much into like the armchair psychology of the football team or whatever. But you just have to think that, you know, with the Duke thing resolved and him off the team and, you know, Ricardo as a senior stepped up, said this is how it's going to be and this is how we're going to play. We're going to give maximum effort and stuff. That it made a big difference, I think. So,
yeah. All right. Well, what about
Here's the only thing about the Arkansas game.
Yeah.
Noon kickoff, the Eastern time, 11 Central.
11 o'clock, SEC Network.
So it's the I believe so. So it's the early kickoff, so that's always a tough – but I think it's tough for the home team. It's tough for the home fans. They're, you know, we've seen that at Auburn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's tough to get up for those early games.
Can I just remind you, though, that we've gone out to the Smokehouse before when it was the Nut House and – seen Auburn get slaughtered by a mediocre Arkansas team in an 11:30.
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
More than once. So
I think it helps us a little bit from a crowd perspective, but we have to show up ready to play. And we have to come out again, just like we did in the Kentucky game. We have to come out again, you know, and attack at the opening of the game.
Yes, absolutely. I wish it was a night game, but yeah, we'll get it out of the way.
That's right. It was great this weekend to have our game out of the way. I could enjoy the rest of the SEC games.
Absolutely. And not even the same day. That was really sweet. Yeah. I could, if Tuberville was still our coach, we'd be playing Thursday night every week because Cincinnati does. Does Cincinnati even play on Saturday? Every game that they play is on Thursday or Friday. Have you noticed that?
Seems like it.
Every Thursday.
Gotta get on TV.
That's Tubbs. Tubbs is like, are we going to be on TV? There you go. That's it. So. Around the SEC, we saw this. I turned on the Ole Miss game, and there was still about 10 minutes to go, and they were down a few points. And I kept thinking, well, they're going to turn it on. No, Memphis turned it on and ran it up on them.
I watched most of that game, and it was a great game. Memphis is a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
Their quarterback is excellent. And that coach, Justin Fuente, is going to be coaching a major school next year, whether it's South Carolina or wherever he's going to be there.
Yeah. What should we take from that game about Ole Miss as we get ready to play them down the road a little bit?
Well, I mean, they're 1-6 in their last six road games.
Wow.
And the one win was at Alabama. So that is just bizarre to me. But
it really is.
You know, they have problems on the road. So, I mean, and the next road game they play is at Auburn.
Well, they can look at each other and say, well, we've lost at Memphis and we've lost here and there and the other, but we'll always have Tuscaloosa.
Here's looking at you, kid. The biggest thing for them is that what we knew last year and what you still know is that they can't run the ball.
They cannot run. They are unfamiliar with the concept of rushing.
I mean, it's not that they're unfamiliar, but they reuse these little scat back kind of guys, and they don't commit to it. They keep real spread it out.
I wonder where Terry Bowden was coaching right now. He must be Hugh Freeze's offensive coordinator.
It looks a little bit like that. But, I mean, and Freeze is a good coach, but they do not run the ball. For them to have success in short yardage, they have to bring in all these, you know, big defensive linemen stuff. And then Robert Condici got a concussion and missed the second half of the game. Yeah. That was a big difference.
Yeah.
When he's out. So
you mean that a team that's really good and has won some games in the past, when they start losing players off the roster, suddenly can't play so well and actually might lose?
Well,
there's a novel concept. Hello.
It is. And Ole Miss has lost a lot of guys on their defense. So.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. I'm not nearly as scared of them as I was. They're still a very good team, and they're still going to be, you know, probably ranked, or we're going to have to play well. But at home, like if it's a night game at Halloween – I think we got a shot.
I'm not as scared of Ole Miss. I'm not as scared of Arkansas. And I'm not as scared of Georgia.
Nope.
And honestly, I'm not as scared of Texas A&M, although, again, rock, paper, scissors says they're going to kill us. And we talked about that game already, but anything else about the beatdown in
– I mean, Christian Kirk is a great player for them. They have
the humiliation in College Station. Yeah. The humiliation in College Station. I'm trademarking that right now. Copyright 2015.
But what we saw from Alabama was, you know, Lane Kiffin, despite his off-the-field activities, is not an idiot. And
you could be forgiven for not realizing that, but yes.
But I mean, in this game, what they did is they played three wide receivers a lot, and they spread them way out, and Texas A&M could only put like five or six guys in the box, and then Alabama ran straight ahead against those guys with Derrick Henry, and they couldn't stop them.
Nope.
And so, you know, I think sure everybody in the stadium was like, why didn't they do it more? But he had like 230 yards, and they were in control of the game, so.
Don't want to get him killed in this game. You didn't need him.
No, but I mean,
didn't need to after that.
This game in particular, Texas A&M is still soft and still not mentally tough, and they couldn't handle it. But
well, you play that game over again, though, A&M might win just because. I mean, if you take away the pick sixes, A&M wins.
That's what I'm saying. Like if they just punt three times,
yeah, they win the game.
So, yeah, that's the part that's frustrating. But
and if they actually score on one of those pick sixes. The right way, the right direction, not the opposite direction, then they really win. They win by double digits.
I mean, the biggest thing for Auburn when we play Texas A&M is we cannot get in third and longs against them.
No.
Because those two pass rushers, I'm very concerned about our ability to stop them. I don't think we can. So we can't be in third and nine or we're gonna be at problems. We need to be like third and one.
Yep. The head ball coach stepped down. And his understudy went in and got as Coach Spurrier said, he got to go ahead and open up against a double A team, Vanderbilt, and got a win.
I'm sorry to see Spurrier go. I really enjoyed watching him, and they barely beat Vanderbilt. I mean, it was 19-10, and they were losing a lot of the game. So,
And Spurrier's sitting at home going, "Yep, this why I left. didn't need to pollute my record with another loss."
Well, and it's, you know, it's all on him for the state of the roster, though. So
that was a good LSU-Florida game.
It was a great game. Very fun to watch. And they really miss Will Grier, though. I mean, Florida's really well coached. McElvain is an excellent offensive coach. And Jeff Collins, who they stole from Mississippi State, is a good defensive coordinator. They're a well-coached team. They're smart. But, you know, especially without Will Grier, they couldn't make enough plays. And Fournette and LSU's offense had a good game. So
I looked at my wife during that game when they showed Les Miles. I said, you know, I really have come to like Les Miles so much after I used to couldn't stand him. I said, he's the kind of guy that the other team's running back runs for a 90-yard touchdown, and Les goes over to him and says, you know, son, I love you, and your mama loves you, and you made her proud. Just such a weirdo, but I love
it. Oh, and then he ran that fake field goal. It was great.
Oh, yeah. We had that in our in the playbook, and it was time to run it. And it was, that was really awesome, and they deserved it. So LSU is the only undefeated team in the SEC now.
They are. So in a few weeks, you know, they play out, I think they play at Alabama. That'll be a huge game. So.
That'll take care of that. Boy, did Missouri and Georgia give us an epic struggle.
I kept flipping over to that during LSU-Florida.
I thought that Croom Tuberville 2 was on.
It was
the
so
revenge.
Bad. I mean, yeah, Missouri has a very good defense, but they were starting a freshman quarterback still, Locke, and they was at Athens. Wait, and Georgia.
What's his name? What happened to their other quarterback?
He's suspended or benched or whatever. So, Mock.
Hey, Matty Mock, I turned this game on. It was 6-6 in the fourth quarter, and I started laughing, of course. And then when I settled down, Georgia marched down to kick like a 3-yard field. I know 17 plus, so like 20-yard field goal to take the lead, and they missed it. And I fell off the couch laughing so hard.
It was the best. The best.
Oh, that was so funny.
Especially because Richt played for the field goal of that drive. He didn't even try to get the touchdown.
And then he didn't get it. And the UJ announcer, this is actually the UJ announcer saying,
"Oh, my God!"
It just never gets old to me. That actually is the Georgia announcer. If y'all have been wondering where I keep playing that from, that is the Georgia announcer during the immaculate deflection, the Ricardo Lewis catch.
But, you know, again, Georgia without Nick Chubb, Sony Michel is good, Grayson Lambert is not good, and I am not scared of him. And their defense is a step down from where it's been the last two years.
It is.
So Georgia coming to our stadium, is they're good. but I'm not scared of that team. I'm not scared of them.
No, let's get it on. Let's do it.
I think we got a good shot against them.
And you know what we need to do in that game?
What?
We need to come out in orange jerseys.
Good gosh, Dan.
We need to come out in orange jerseys, just like 1980.
No way.
Or 79 or whatever it was. That would just be perfect. Louisiana Tech, Mississippi State beat them. Who gives a crap? All right, really quickly coming up, let's wrap this sucker up. This is a show that doesn't need to go long, but right. Coach Snyder kind of delayed us. Tennessee, Bama. Tennessee got any chance this game?
Theoretically, if Bama has a hangover from the past couple weeks, but
yeah, probably.
I mean, Tennessee, you know, which team shows up, you know?
Has Vanderbilt got any chance against Missouri? I mean, Missouri hadn't looked great.
Sure. It's at Vandy, and Vandy's defense is actually not bad.
Right.
So, I mean, Missouri's freshman quarterback could go in there and throw three picks and lose the game, sure.
The Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky are at Death Valley LSU. That game is no chance. LSU
win. Leonard Fournette for 300.
Fournette, yep. The Aggies go to Ole Miss, who is reeling from their big loss to
Memphis. They are reeling. And you know, I think Ole Miss, if everybody was healthy, has a kind of defense that could do well against A&M.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've just lost too much. And, you know, I do think this could be a really, really fun game to watch, though.
Yeah. Some points scored.
Because both teams can, you know, could get after it and throw the ball.
A lot of throwing.
Yes.
This game could run 4.5 hours. Yeah.
This game will go, this, whatever game is after this is going to have problems.
But if you're setting your DVR for Texas A&M Ole Miss,
add the extra time.
Yeah. Go on in there and don't even just settle for 1 hour. Add two extra hours. Just go ahead and do it. You'll probably get like 30 minutes of car care infomercial, but that's okay. You won't miss the end. And then Kentucky goes to Mississippi State. That's a weird matchup. They don't ever play each other.
No, it's one of those weird rotational ones. But I think that Kentucky team is pretty solid. And I think they're going to give Mississippi State a game. You look at the state of the East.
Yeah.
You know, Florida's good. They're going to win the East. Yeah. South Carolina's terrible. Vanderbilt's terrible. Tennessee's a basket case. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia is all over the place right now without Chubb. And I think Kentucky's going to, you know, could absolutely sneak in there and finish like third and go to a bowl game. So
let me say this. If Kentucky beats Mississippi State, I think that says something about where our program is right now.
That's fair.
Because we lost to Mississippi State. We beat Kentucky. Kentucky wins. It gives us a little hope, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to fool with what have we learned. I think we know what we've learned. I think we've covered everything pretty well. We got to get out of here. We're running over time. So, John, I'm going to just wrap this sucker up. Have we covered everything we need to cover?
I think we have.
All right. We'll see you guys down the road to review Arkansas-Auburn. And otherwise, look for us on Twitter. Look for us on Facebook. Page is blowing up on Facebook. John, War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
All right, we're good. Go to bed.